Today, I start a series on natural solutions for diabetes, and I'm happy to have Dr. Michael Murray and Dr. Michael Smith open this series. Dr. Murray is chairman of Dr. Murray Natural Living Incorporated and one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine. He has published 30 books on health-related topics, including how to prevent and treat diabetes with natural medicine. And his research into the health benefits of proper nutrition is the foundation for a best-selling line of vitamins and supplements at Natural Factors, where he is director of product development. He is a graduate faculty member and serves on the board of regents of Bastyr University in Seattle, Washington. For the past 30 years, Dr. Murray has been compiling a massive database of original research studies from the medical literature. He has personally collected over 60,000 articles from the scientific literature, which provide strong evidence on the effectiveness of diet, vitamins, minerals, herbs, and other natural measures in the maintenance of health and the treatment of disease. It is from this constantly expanding database that Dr. Murray provides the answers for health and healing. According to Dr. Murray, one of the great myths about natural medicine is that they are not scientific. The fact of the matter is that for most common illnesses, there is greater support in the medical literature for a natural approach than there is for drugs or surgery. Unfortunately, many people are not aware of the natural approaches that can put them on the road to lifetime health. Dr. Murray has dedicated his life to educating physicians, patients, and the general public on the tremendous healing power of nature. In addition to his books, which have cumulative sales of over 2 million copies, Dr. Murray has written thousands of articles, appeared on hundreds of radio and television programs, and lectured to hundreds of thousands of people nationwide. As a consultant to the health food industry, Dr. Murray has been instrumental in bringing many effective natural products to North America, including glucosamine sulfate, St. John's wort extract, ginkgo biloba extract, enteric-coated peppermint oil, sol palmetto berry extract, PGX, and pharmagaba. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Michael, and I look forward to hearing how you, as a naturopathic physician with many books and products, including those on diabetes, how you work with patients who have diabetes. Now first, would you briefly review for the listeners the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes?
Yes, type 1 diabetes is characterized by an inability to manufacture insulin. Most often this is a result of an autoimmune process where the cells within the pancreas that produce insulin get destroyed. So this usually happens in children, but it can also happen in adults. So type 1 diabetics require daily injections of insulin in order to keep their blood sugar levels under control. Type 2 diabetes is by far the most common form of diabetes, and in this form, people are able to manufacture insulin, particularly in the early stages. They're just not able to see that insulin do its job. Mm-hmm. And that's, in most cases, the result of too much abdominal obesity. As people gain weight, collectively, these fat cells start acting like a tumor, and the tumor wants to grow. So the way it does this is by secreting compounds that block the action of insulin. So insulin is not able to open up gates that allow glucose and other nutrients to enter the cell, so blood sugar levels can become quite high, and we have to address that elevation in blood sugar levels, because if we don't, it really wreaks havoc on our physiology. Diabetes is a very, very serious condition. It's associated with an increased risk for heart disease, cancer. It shortens your lifespan by 15 to 20 years if you don't get it under control. It's associated with nerve damage, kidney failure, So there's a lot of reasons why people with diabetes want to be well controlled in terms of their blood sugar levels.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do most people that have diabetes know they have it?
You know, it's often a silent disease. Type 1 diabetes often has a very rapid onset, but type 2 diabetes is more insidious. And we estimate that there are, you know, probably close to 20 million Americans with type 2 diabetes, and only about half of them have been diagnosed. The standard way of diagnosing diabetes is to get a fasting blood sugar level or an after-meal blood sugar level. And if these are too high, then that is an indication that a person has diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Then, Michael, as a naturopathic physician, what are some typical reasons that people with diabetes would come to you?
Well, a lot of people that come to see naturopaths are seeking alternatives. Many people don't like the idea of taking a pill, particularly for conditions that owe their origin to diet and lifestyle, and I would put diabetes at the top of that list. So I think a lot of times people will come to see naturopaths because they are looking for a more natural alternative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would be your natural medical approach to diabetes?
First off, we have to kind of help them realize that this isn't a death sentence and this is a condition that they can reverse. One of the great sins I think that many doctors are guilty of is telling a patient with diabetes that this is a condition that they will always have.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. We can reverse type 2 diabetes if we address the underlying issue, and in most cases that is an increase in abdominal obesity. So that becomes the primary focus. We have to help people lose weight. We have to work on measures that increase the sensitivity of the cells to insulin, you know, thereby increasing insulin sensitivity. If we're able to achieve that goal, then we can achieve the ultimate goal, which is to get them under control to a point where they no longer have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Then I've read that you say that the best diet for diabetic management is not the one promoted by the American Diabetic Association. Can you tell us why and what you recommend?
Well, we've learned a lot since that diet came out. And in particular, we have a greater understanding that all carbohydrates are not created equal. Some have a very high glycemic index or glycemic load, and those terms signify the impact of a carbohydrate on our blood sugar levels. So paying close attention to whether a carbohydrate source is a high glycemic index source or a mid to low source is really, really important. And that's just not stressed at all in the standard ADA diet to help people with blood sugar issues.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you recommend?
Well, we recommend a low glycemic, low diet, kind of a low carb, high protein, and moderate amounts of fat. This diet is the one that has the greatest support in the medical literature. We know that that diet has the best effect in helping people really get their blood sugar levels under control and hopefully will help them lose weight as well. One of the tools that we use, when I say we, I've done a lot of work with Dr. Michael Lyon at the Canadian Center for Functional Medicine, and he's also my co-author of the book, How to Prevent and Treat Diabetes with Natural Medicine. And we started utilizing a dietary fiber matrix called PGX, that's short for polyglycoplex. We started using this based upon the research that was conducted at the University of Toronto by the same research team that developed the now famous glycemic index. And what they found was that using this fiber matrix, they would be able to reduce the glycemic index or glycemic load of any food or any meal by 35% to 70%.
Mm-hmm.
So we started utilizing it and helping people get their blood sugar levels under control. And our results just frankly blew us away. When we started utilizing it in the clinic, more and more patients started telling us for the first time in their life they didn't feel hungry all the time. That's because what makes this fiber matrix PGX so special is that it's able to bind roughly 600 times its weight in water. So when you ingest it, it forms this large gelatinous mass. That tells your brain you're full. It also slows down gastric emptying, giving your body a better chance to process the carbohydrate or sugar that you consume. So we started utilizing it in these diabetics, and many of them started to lose weight nearly effortlessly. And so that led us to looking at PGX as a weight loss aid. And as I said earlier, one of the key goals in helping people with diabetes and hopefully reversing that diabetes is to help them achieve their ideal body weight. And we feel that we found a very valuable tool in helping people achieve that goal. And the results that we've achieved are just absolutely astounding. And we've gotten to know this material very, very well, and there's nothing like it. It's a revolutionary approach to helping improve blood sugar control, helping people control their appetite, reduce their portion size, reduce their calorie intake, and ultimately lose weight.
Mm-hmm. What would be a typical meal?
Well, for a dinner, what we would recommend is we would recommend utilizing PGX in any of the form that's available. We have it available in capsules and granules, mm-hmm, as part of a meal replacement formula. And then just eating a sensible meal. We use a plate mm-hmm, and illustrate that half of that plate should be consisting of low glycemic load mm-hmm vegetables. So lots of green leafy vegetables, non-starchy vegetables, broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower, all those cabbage family mm-hmm vegetables, green leafy vegetables, spinach, the various lettuces, kale. And then about one quarter of the plate would consist of some sort of complex carbohydrate source. It could be a small piece of bread or a small whole grain roll. We like to recommend whole grains or very complex carbohydrates be mm-hmm really limited in their consumption, so just a small portion, and then the remaining quarter of the plate would be a good high-quality protein source. And mm-hmm in our books, we provide recipes to really mix it up and provide the variety that people are looking for. As far as any dessert would go, we would limit that and opt more for low-glycemic fruit, particularly berries, blueberries, blackberries, strawberries. These are very healthful in many ways for people wanting to live longer with greater vitality. These flavonoids that are in these berries mm-hmm are very, very important. So that's a good dessert to consume rather than something that has a lot of sugar and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for dinner. We recommend more frequent meals throughout the day. In addition to breakfast and lunch, we recommend a low-calorie, 50 to 100-calorie snack mid-morning and mid-afternoon. We think that really helps people stay satisfied. And that's the real key to helping people achieve their weight loss goal. You have to help them feel full, feel satisfied, and the only way they're going to feel that way is if they eat. So hence, we recommend smaller, more frequent meals.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there minimal or no things like corn, carrots, potatoes, pastas, the high-carb things? Are they eliminated, or is there minimal amounts, or what?
Minimal amounts. And what we found with using the PGX, as I said earlier, mm-hmm, it will reduce the glycemic index of any food by 35 to 70%. And some of our work, we've had about 500 patients go through our program, and we've run all sorts of different groups mm-hmm through, and sometimes we've just given them very basic dietary guidelines. Others we've gone through and pretty much given them a nutrition 101 course. We found that either way works, that when people start getting their blood sugar levels under control, that their sugar cravings decline and they mm-hmm start naturally eating a diet that's more healthful for them. It seems like most people know what they need to do to lose weight, get their blood sugar levels under control. What PGX does is it allows them to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. I stopped sugar about 2 years ago. I have no simple carbohydrate. And the hardest time is Christmas when I go to my sister's and she has homemade fudge and homemade cookies and all of that. But I resist. And as you say, the longer you're off, the less desire you have for it. I'm very satisfied with the berries and a pear or an apple or an yep. orange or a piece of fruit, it tastes much sweeter now than it used to taste when I was eating sugar.
Yeah, it's amazing how good these natural foods are. They really are. They're just great gifts for us. You know, one of the things that we've been able to discover was that when people start gaining weight, when their waist to hip ratio gets increased, when their waist is larger than their hips, they mm-hmm. most likely are suffering from insulin resistance, and that's kind of the predecessor to type 2 diabetes. When we've looked at their continuous blood sugar measurements, we have a technology now where we can measure a person's blood sugar level over a 24-hour period, and we found that in all of these people that are overweight, they have what we call high blood sugar volatility, or another way of saying it is they're on the blood sugar roller coaster, and mm-hmm. we've had them keep diaries, and it doesn't fail. Whenever there's a rapid drop in blood sugar levels, they experience a tremendous urge to eat, and typically they'll reach for foods that are going to quickly raise their blood sugar level. So it's really counterproductive to what their goals are in terms of their diet and trying to lose weight or get their diabetes under control. You got to mm-hmm. stay away from those high sugar, high calorie foods. Well, when you go on this program of using PGX and a low glycemic diet, what happens is we can literally flatline a person's blood sugar control. And when you're able to flatline a person's blood sugar control, then they have a real chance of losing weight because they're not going to succumb to all of these silent urges that their brain and body are trying to get them to listen to, because, you know, the body cells feel like they're starving, and that triggers a lot of activity in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Do you encourage organic food, or does it not make a difference?
Oh, you know, I think it's always a good idea to choose organic as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, organic foods are much more available now than they've ever been, and hopefully that'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Michael, what are your goals for diabetic management with natural medicine?
They're the same. I mean, the ultimate goal is we want to get people completely under control so they don't have to rely on any medication. I mean, the medications, they may be necessary in the short term, much like if I hurt my arm, I may need to keep it in a sling. But if I kept it in that sling, it would wither and atrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what happens when we rely on these oral hypoglycemic drugs in the treatment of diabetes. They don't address the underlying issues, and they create a situation where they virtually cripple our physiology, and as a result, these drugs don't work all that well, and they don't work in the long term, so doctors have to start prescribing them at higher dosages or in combination with other drugs, and when that happens, mortality actually increases. That's a dirty little secret that most doctors won't tell diabetic patients, mm-hmm. that these drugs just simply do not work for the long term. Why? Because they don't address the underlying issues. They simply are acting as biochemical band-aids.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I found that in cancer also. I was diagnosed 36 years ago with lung cancer and given 6 months to live. So I refused chemotherapy, surgery, etc., and I used all natural alternative things. Use physical, mental, spiritual, like affirmations, prayer, visualization, service to others, etc. But then I was on a very special diet that was like 75% raw fruit and vegetables. And I took vitamin B17. I took a lot of supplements that I went to a naturopathic physician in Northern Virginia who had worked with the National Cancer Institute, but when they were closed down, he continued providing services, but I had to sign forms. I wouldn't report him, but I used all natural, and I'm here 36 years later, so again, I think that
if I had used,
I'm sure, the chemotherapy and the radiation, I would not have made it, because I know that my immune system was not in very good shape at the point that I was diagnosed. So I agree with using natural as much as possible. Then, Michael, could you give us a case study of someone who has been helped by your approach to diabetes?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite stories involved a gentleman that was at a lecture that I was giving in Houston, Texas, on a part of my book tour. And this gentleman was very large. He was sitting in the front row there, and you could tell he was really listening intently throughout. And when the lecture was over, he was the first person to rush up and start asking me questions. And come to find out, he had just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. His fasting blood sugar level was 640, and he was a relatively young guy. I mean, he was, I think he was 52 at the time, and we started talking. I got to know him a little bit, and I always try and find an anchor to help people get motivated in doing the things that they know that they want to do. And so, you know, he started asking me about the medications, and I said, you know, there's no way around it. When you have diabetes, you have to make changes to your diet and lifestyle, and you can't rely on these little pills. I go, it's not a good first step. Let's see how you would respond to the program that we write about in the book and that you've heard me describe in this lecture. And I said, now, with that high a blood sugar level, I want you to stay in contact with me because it'll be very important for you to monitor yourself, and let's see what we can do. Well, you know, I had found out that he had two young children.
Mm-hmm.
He married late in life, and he had these young kids. And so I used that as my leverage. I said, you know, do you love your kids? And he said, of course I love my kids. And I said, well, then you've got to do everything you can to lose the weight and get this condition under control. I mean, he was grossly overweight. He weighed 280 pounds. He was about 5'8", so you can imagine how big this guy was. And so I started working with him and, you know, kept in contact with him via emails. And when he was able to get completely off any medication and was able to get his diabetes reversed, he wrote me a very, very special email that I'd like to share with you.
Great.
Let me find this. I actually got this email on Father's Day, and I had seen him in early January. So in less than 6 months, he had completely reversed his situation. So, and here's what he wrote me. He said, I know that you're a very busy man and may not remember talking to me when you came to Houston. We talked about your book and research on preventing and treating diabetes. You saved my life that night. I was very ill with type 2 diabetes, and the medication did not work, and I could feel my life was slipping away. I was helpless to do anything until I met you. You gave me hope and helped me to believe that my life could continue, and indeed it has. I went immediately that night and bought the program that you described and began using it as you told me to that night. On the second day I came back from my illness, I began to feel well again, and I had energy, and my sugar began to drop. Today I'm 52 pounds lighter. I no longer have diabetes, and I'm on all medications, and just doing your program and eating correctly and exercising 3 times a week. I've gone from a size 3XX to a size large. My pants have gone from a 48 to a size 40. I weighed 268 and now weigh 216. I'm well and fit and owe it to you and the products that you developed. I wish I could do more to thank you, for you saved my life. My wife and children are grateful to you, too. You make a difference in people's lives and know that you saved my life. God bless you and your work in Natural Factors. That was one of the greatest emails I ever received, and it was very special because of the, for many reasons. But, you know, there was no secret to what I was recommending to this gentleman. You know, you just have to take the necessary steps to achieve proper blood sugar control, get your weight down to where it should be, and you can reverse this terrible disease. If people don't go that route, then they have a lot of pain and suffering to look forward to. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, that was a wonderful email, and I don't think that anything happens by chance, that there's a reason for everything that happens in our life, and nothing happens by chance. So it wasn't by accident he was in your audience that night. He was meant to live, and something guided him there, I believe. So is there anything else you would like to say, Michael, before we look at your services, products, and books and how the listeners can reach
I would
you?
Just encourage people to go to my website. It's drmurray.com, and doctor spelled out, so it's drmurray.com, and there's all sorts of free information on the site. People can go to the Condition Center, and they can click on diabetes, and they'll see a very short summation of what I recommend in terms of diet, lifestyle, and proper supplementation. And if they follow this program, I'm sure that they'll get the results that they deserve in getting their blood sugar levels under control.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything more about your books and?
Well, I would encourage people to get to the website, and if they're interested, they can order the books from the website. I have several books that relate to this theme. I have How to Prevent and Treat Diabetes with Natural Medicine. And I also have a book on weight loss called Hunger Free Forever that really goes into more detail with diet, lifestyle, and proper supplementation for helping people achieve and maintain their ideal body weight.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Michael. It's been very interesting, and I know
it's been great to get to know you a little bit, and I look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another uplifting issue of a distinctive style magazine filled with heartfelt stories about people whose passion in life is to help others can be found in the new summer issue. In today's media, with an emphasis on hurricanes, floods, fires, volcanic eruptions, global economic problems, social unrest, and other negative problems, these uplifting stories provide some positive energy and help us to realize that not all is wrong with the world. There is a good mix of stories, music, and movies in this issue, and one focus includes stories of recovering survivors of 9/11 in memory of the upcoming anniversary. Patricia Welch also sings United We Stand, written by her husband, Pete DuBerry, to describe 9/11. Enjoy the beauty of the Northern Lights movie, shot over 6 months in Norway, or read about toys that assist development in autistic children, or read about Sam and Amber Jagar, both actors who maintain a happy home life in Hollywood and work with instead of against Mother Earth, or read about Brooke Burke, co-host of Dancing with the Stars, as she describes her new book, The Naked Mom, A Modern Mom's Fearless Revelations, Savory Advice, and Soulful Reflections. If interested in health, you will want to enjoy the movie on Firewater that exposes the truth about the harmful effects of industrial-grade fluoridation chemicals used in the water supply in Australia, or read about toxic chemicals in skin and hair care products, or view the movie about citizens fighting to protect their environment from coal mining, where the weekly detonations are shredding the landscape, poisoning the water, and devastating the community. These are some of the stories you will find in the summer issue of A Distinctive Style magazine. I know you will want to subscribe to this magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Dr. Michael T. Smith, who is a naturopathic physician who specializes in classic homeopathy and clinical nutrition. He received his doctorate of naturopathic medicine from the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Arizona. He was selected for a family practice residency position at the Southwest Naturopathic Medicine Center in Scottsdale, Arizona. There he received advanced training in homeopathy and clinical nutrition. He is currently part of the North Carolina Association of Naturopathic Physicians and practices at the Carolinas Natural Health Center in Matthews, North Carolina. Dr. Smith is an expert in homeopathy, using it to treat chronic and acute conditions. He says homeopathy works at a much deeper level to stimulate the body's innate ability to heal. Homeopathy is by far one of the most effective and safest forms of medicine. Dr. Smith also has extensive experience using nutrition to treat various conditions, most notably diabetes. He says, through using nutrition and lifestyle modifications, I have been able to help people normalize their blood sugars and prevent complications from diabetes. There is no reason that anyone should suffer complications from this disease. They are completely preventable. Dr. Smith takes a very individualized approach to your health. I take the time to understand you as a person. More information is available at www.carolinasnaturalhealth.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Michael, and I look forward to hearing about diabetes. First, what is diabetes?
Great. Well, thanks for the opportunity, Carl. I really appreciate this. Mm-hmm. Diabetes, as we're hearing, is a ever-growing epidemic in our country. And when we talk about diabetes, there's two main types of diabetes. Mm-hmm. And the epidemic that we have is really type 2. And so I assume most of what we're going to talk about today is that can be that. Mm-hmm. But you know, type 1 diabetes is often what we call juvenile diabetes, or a condition that comes on early in life, and it is a separate condition than type 2. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease where, for some reason, the body's own immune system has decided to attack what's called the islet cells of the pancreas that produce insulin. Mm-hmm. And so the body's ability to produce insulin is greatly diminished and sometimes completely inhibited by that process. And so someone with type 1 diabetes will need and require insulin lifelong in order to be able to manage their blood sugars appropriately. Type 2 diabetes that we're having, you know, an ever-growing epidemic with, is a condition due to lifestyle. You know, it's really something that has grown dramatically. It used to be called adult onset diabetes, mm-hmm. and this is a condition that we now see at younger and younger ages. You know, I've seen kids as early as 10 or 12 years old with type 2 diabetes. And what happens is that, you know, oftentimes due to our dietary choices and lifestyle choices, we've consumed diets that are much higher in processed foods, higher in sugar, higher in processed carbohydrates. That starts to drive up our blood sugar. Well, the body's response to that is put on insulin. And what happens over time, because the blood sugar is going up as more often than it should, the body's having to put up more and more and more insulin, and the cells become less reactive or less sensitive to mm-hmm. the insulin. And eventually the body can't put out enough insulin to bring the blood sugar down. And that's where we then diagnose them with diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really an issue with insulin that's the main kind of crux of the problem. But the reason behind it is due to our lifestyle and kind of what we're doing to ourselves
mm-hmm.
that has brought this on.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, why then is there a growing epidemic of diabetes?
You know, this has really come about because we've dramatically changed our food and what we consume over the last 50 years. You know, for the previous 10,000 years, mm-hmm. we've been eating pretty much the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff that grows out of the earth, you know, fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, legumes, meats, things like that we can hunt and gather. But in the last, you know, 50 years is where most of our food has changed so dramatically that our body has not been able to evolve to keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people these days are eating what I don't even consider food anymore. It's just food stuff, things that come out of a box, things that's mm-hmm. been processed. And it is this food stuff that the processing in which, when people are consuming it, is going to spike up their blood sugar. You know, people may have heard of something called glycemic index,
mm-hmm.
which is a measure of how rapidly something you eat or consume will raise your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And we use sugar as kind of the basis for that, where sugar equals 100. Well, white bread, which is, you know, highly refined, highly processed grains, has a glycemic index over 100. It's like 106.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to hit your blood sugar even faster than sugar itself will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true for many processed products where, you know, people are consuming these things and they're having such a rapid rise in the blood sugar. And it's, you know, so this epidemic has really come about because we've changed our eating habits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and along with that, we have greatly decreased how much we're physically moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to remind ourselves that we're physical beings. We need to move. We need to be mm-hmm. active and involved. And we've developed all kinds of ways in which we can take activity out of our day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be creative in trying to find more ways to put it in our day.
Right.
And, you know, the excuse that I don't have time doesn't really work well for me because
mm-hmm.
we're all busy. You know, we all have 24 hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of trying to find ways to put movement back in your day in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all drive our cars and we all have to park and walk somewhere. So, you know, rather than walking right into the store, why don't you take 10 minutes to walk around the parking lot and then
mm-hmm.
go in the store?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those 10 minutes. You can do that two more times. It's 30 minutes. We can all afford to do that mm-hmm. throughout our day. Or we all sit at some point during our day. Well, when you stand up from that chair, rather than just standing up and walking away, go ahead and sit back down and stand up again and do that 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to actively engage those biggest muscles in your body and get you moving again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little simple things like that can make a tremendous, tremendous difference.
Right. I'm fortunate in that I live on the Chesapeake, so I get up at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I walk 3 to 4 miles on the beach, and I'm 78, and I feel
fantastic.
Like that keeps me going.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Also, I have no chronic health problems. I take no prescribed medications. So,
I love hearing that.
So something's working good in my life.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, the thing that I see in the patients that I work with that are in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that sets those apart that are healthy and well from those that are debilitated is really their physical activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the key thing that I see consistent throughout those that are in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that are healthy. Is that they're just physically active. They're constantly moving. They're always doing something. They're involved in something.
Right, right.
Every day.
Right.
So important.
Well, I think we've hinted at it, but then what are the keys to preventing diabetes type 2?
Well, you know, certainly movement is a key part of that. But really dramatically changing our diets back to what we used to eat. You know, we need to do what I call eating a whole food diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I classify whole foods is stuff that doesn't come in a package. It doesn't have a label on it. So this is going to be your fresh produce, you know, your fruits and vegetables, you know, some lean quality proteins, you know, whether it's, you know, fish, chicken, meat, things like that. And, you know, people that are choosing animal products need to eat the highest quality they can possibly get their hands on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is not going to be your factory farmed meats mm-hmm. that are typically sitting on the supermarket shelves. But things that ideally would be, you know, locally sourced from a local farmer that you know and have a relationship with. And if it's going to be beef, it should be grass-fed, grass-finished.
Mm-hmm.
If it's chicken, it should be pasture-raised. Think about that chicken running around eating bugs and grubs. You know, these are completely different animals than what's being factory-farmed and served up at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as high quality as possible. So really getting back to the basics. And it's amazing to me how many people, you know, don't know what, you know, fruits and vegetables look like, don't know what to do with them, don't know how to cook. You know, most people's idea of cooking is they open the box, put it in the microwave, and push a button.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's gotten us in this pickle. And it's, I know we're talking primarily about diabetes, mm-hmm. but this is the problem with every chronic health disease.
Right, right.
You know, whether it's heart disease or cancer or diabetes, which are the big three, and all of these are preventable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're doing this to ourselves. And so we need to start taking steps to start to reverse this. And so the real key is ensuring that we are consuming as many vegetables and fruits as we can throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
These are super important and very protective in our bodies, all the different antioxidants and bioflavonoids and phytonutrients that are in these plants is what provides our body with protection. And getting away from the processed higher carbohydrate foods like the breads and crackers and cereals and pastas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not to say you can never have those things, but they shouldn't be the majority of our
right,
diet.
Right, right. I got a good start in life because we were poor, mm-hmm. so we grew all of our own fruit and vegetables, and this was back in the 30s.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Also, there weren't pesticides. I think they used manure as a fertilizer.
Yep.
And we grew all our own fruit and vegetables. We had pigs that they butchered, and they bought cows. We went to the farm, and got unhomogenized, unpasteurized milk.
Yep.
And it was a whole different way of living then. And I pretty much continued this, especially after I had lung cancer 36 years ago. And so I started making sure I do all the things that you've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, the grass-fed, the organic. I don't eat beef, but I eat chicken, and mm-hmm. I get organic fruit and vegetables. I was eating limited amount of protein, but then I read that you should have protein each meal because of the wasting of the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So I added some whey for a couple meals where there wasn't a lot of protein, like breakfast and lunch, where I eat mainly a salad.
Yeah, well, you know, other good sources of protein, too, that are easy to include would be beans,
oh, mm-hmm.
nuts, seeds.
I eat a lot, about 4 pounds of nuts a week. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are really healthy options for protein, too, that are plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so they also offer, you know, tremendous protection in our body.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, those are good things to include. And salads are great, you know. They're such a great way to kind of pack in all sorts of different phytonutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, salads, you know, should be more than just kind of lettuce and tomato, but, you know, you can chop up all kinds of veggies in there, whether it's mm-hmm. carrots or onions or mm-hmm. cucumber or broccoli, whatever the case might be, and throw in a handful of nuts, maybe some cheese, mm-hmm. beans, and have a different kind of salad every day.
Mm-hmm.
It can be great for you.
Now, I hadn't thought about beans, but that is a good suggestion because that would help. You know,
yes, and they also, beans are high in lignans, which are very cardioprotective,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so they help your cardiovascular system.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good benefits there.
Then, Michael, how would you treat diabetes effectively?
You know, when patients come and see me with already diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, the thing that we need to do is work primarily on their diet. You know, mm-hmm. that's the thing that makes the biggest difference. You know, there's certainly, you know, supplements that I utilize that can help to resensitize their cells to insulin again, that can help in reducing their blood sugar levels, you know, which are all very effective, but they don't come anywhere close to the effectiveness of changing how you eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the biggest difference. And this is where I feel in conventional medicine where we're missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so off base in the treatment, and really it's not even treatment, it's more just management of diabetes, because they're just managing the disease process as it continues.
Mm-hmm.
Where my goal with people that have diabetes is to get their what's called their hemoglobin A1C level down to 5, which is a normal non-diabetic level, which is completely achievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if your blood sugars are normal at non-diabetic levels, you never have to run the risk of developing any complications from diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that long list of things that people hear about when they get diabetes, you know, that they're going to lose their vision and they're end up with heart disease, kidney disease, lose sensation in their toes, all those things. Yes, those will develop if mm-hmm. you continue to follow the conventional treatment plan because mm-hmm. we're not getting the blood sugars down to normal levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you change your diet and your lifestyle dramatically, you get those blood sugars down to non-diabetic levels, you'll never have complications from the disease,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the message I think people aren't getting. You know, instead, it's like, oh, you're diagnosed with diabetes, here, take this pill, here, take this pill, here, take this pill, you know, and then eventually it's getting you on insulin shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not an effective approach to this. We really need to focus on the diet and removing, you know, the heavier carbohydrate foods. And so the first thing I'm knocking out is all the processed foods,
mm-hmm.
all that packaged processed crackers, breads, pastas, cereals, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, initially, too, I will eliminate any heavier carbohydrate foods,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like potatoes, as well as all the other kind of pastas and things like that,
mm-hmm.
from their diet, so that we can get their blood sugars down. And the blood sugar will drop the day they change their eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a long time. You know, the body's going to respond pretty quickly. You know, now reversing the insulin resistance that they developed, you know, does take a little longer. And reducing the demand for insulin is really the key with this, because what's happened over time, as I described, is that we've increased the body's demand for insulin by pushing the blood sugars higher and higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is not that they don't have enough insulin, it's really they have too much insulin. And so we really need to reduce the demand for insulin, and we do that by reducing the amount of carbohydrates we're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And so initially, I'm having people consume primarily vegetables. with some quality protein at every meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that combination will dramatically reduce the demand for insulin, will drop their blood sugar significantly, and often allow them to come off any medications they may be taking.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are already at the point where they're taking insulin, you know, really it's kind of wrong approach. I mean, you know, if they have type 2 diabetes, the problem is too much insulin. And mm-hmm. so now if we add more insulin into the equation, it's like adding fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens most of the time is people gain a tremendous amount of weight when they start taking insulin, because insulin's job is it's really a fat storage hormone. Mm-hmm. Its job is to take excess sugar out of the bloodstream and store it as fat. And so if you're putting more insulin in your body or you have more insulin circulating around, it's going to be a lot harder to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so people with type 2 diabetes are oftentimes, you know, overweight or obese, and that feeds into the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to help them lose the weight, and we do that by reducing that demand for insulin, which will allow it, their bodies to lose the weight much, much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really comes down to food. That's first and foremost. You know, there are some supplements that are helpful in resensitizing the cells to insulin. Fish oil is a big one. Fish oil has been shown time and time again to be a really key component in helping to resensitize cells to insulin again. Also, it's cardioprotective, so it helps to protect their heart as well as their kidneys, which are both susceptible to damage from elevated blood sugars. You know, another supplement that I often will recommend is alpha-lipoic acid, which is a powerful antioxidant in the body. And this is something that can help to both reduce blood sugars, but also really does a great job helping to protect our end organs from damage from elevated blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
It's your kidney, heart, eyes, things like that, nerves, and so forth. So that's kind of the primary approach that we're taking, is really following them closely with their diet and having them monitor their blood sugars consistently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, what I find a lot of times is people aren't checking their blood sugars enough.
Oh,
you know, checking it maybe once a week, once a day. Initially, where I want them to be is with type 2, if they're not on insulin, is checking it 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fasting when they first get up in the morning, so we know what that number looks like, and then 1.5 to 2 hours after every meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that's going to do is going to start to help people hone in on how their food is affecting their blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1.5 to 2 hours after each meal, your blood sugar should be back down to where it was before you ate.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, there's something you ate that's keeping it elevated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we can kind of really tweak their diet based on, mm-hmm. on how mm-hmm. their body responds to certain foods
mm-hmm.
with that. That's really, really helpful.
Do you think that antibiotics set a mindset where people think, well, if I take a pill, that's going to solve everything?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that's kind of the general mindset that's got us in trouble, is that, oh, you know, I'll just go on and live my life and do what I want to do, and whenever I get sick, there'll be a pill, and I'll just take the pill, and I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize that there is no drug in the world that makes you healthier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, drugs don't improve health, and it's a myth that there's going to be a cure for diabetes that's going to be in a pill form.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, same thing with cancer, same thing with heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
There's never going to be a pill that's going to cure these diseases. These diseases are already curable primarily through prevention.
Mm-hmm.
We have the cure.
What would you say the majority of your patients are? Do they come after they've been on insulin for a while and had conventional treatment, or do they come when they first start diagnosed with diabetes?
You know, I get kind of all types. You know, people that are first diagnosed oftentimes will come because they're scared, worried, concerned mm-hmm. about the disease or condition, and, mm-hmm. and really are looking to not take medications. And so they want to find another alternative or a better approach mm-hmm. to that, and they'll show up in my office. Sometimes the other trigger that sets in is if they've been diabetic for a while and they're not at the point where their doctor's recommending they start an insulin, that's usually a mm-hmm. big cause for them to say, okay, wait a minute, I don't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show up, and we're able to start working with them at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But really, any point in time, I'll start to see them and work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take a long time. You know, they get things under control as long as people are willing to make some changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with what they're eating as well as with their physical activity level, you know, because to resensitize those cells, not only do we need to change our eating habits, but we really need to be moving again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aerobic activity makes a significant difference in helping to reduce insulin resistance.
So they're motivated at that point to make
yes.
these changes?
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Yeah. Then, Michael, how do you measure success with diabetes?
You know, one is really making sure we're tracking their blood sugar as well. Because over time, we should see that trend continue to decrease with their numbers and eventually get them down into non-diabetic blood sugar numbers, which their blood sugars most of the time should be running between 80 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are non-diabetic levels. And you know, obviously it depends on how long they have the condition, how willing they are to make some of these changes. But for the most part, people start to notice, you know, some dramatic changes in the blood sugars pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's one measure. The other one that I use, I mentioned earlier, is called hemoglobin A1C.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a common measure that if you have diabetes, you should know your A1C number. If you don't, make sure you ask your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
A normal non-diabetic A1C is around 5. And what this is actually measuring is the percentage of red blood cells that have sugar stuck to them. You know, sugar's sticky, right? You know, we've all had times where we mm-hmm. spill some sugary soda or something like that, and it makes this big sticky mess. Well, the same thing happens in our blood. You know, sugar in our blood is sticky as well, and so it tends to stick to things. And on average, about 5% of our red blood cells have sugar stuck to them.
Mm-hmm.
They become what we call glycosylated. And so we're measuring that as an estimate of someone's average blood sugar over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if your blood sugar is running higher, you're going to have a greater percentage of red blood cells that have sugar stuck to them. And so 5 is about average. The goal for a conventional medical goal for an A1C with someone with diabetes is 6.5 to 7. That's what they term success, which for me is nowhere near success because that means your average blood sugar is still running around 160 to 180.
Oh.
And that is way too high. Mm-hmm. That's doing plenty of damage in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only time damage happens with diabetes is when your blood sugar is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we need to get that down. And if we continue to be at that level, you're going to have plenty of damage in the body, you know, long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal is to get their A1C down to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we want them to be. And then I know that we're preventing damage from happening from this condition. And, you know, people ask me, well, can I be cured from diabetes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. You know, it's like you're not going to be cured in the way that you can go back to eating the way you ate mm-hmm. in the past, because that's what got you here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you'd be cured in a way that you're no longer diagnosable with diabetes as long as you keep things under control
mm-hmm.
through your lifestyle habits,
mm-hmm.
changes. Those are the main measures I use to mm-hmm. measure success with that. You know, also the other things we're going to see is their weight's going to drop, their blood pressure's going to come down, you know, the need for the medication is going to be greatly reduced or eliminated. You know, those are all measures of success that I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
and looking for with this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, homeopathy is one of your areas. Can you tell us what homeopathic medicine is?
Sure. In addition to nutrition, which is a huge basis for our health, homeopathy is one of the areas that I specialize in. And homeopathy itself is a whole separate system of medicine that works in a real gentle way to help to stimulate the body's own healing. And so it's based on the law of similars in that like cures like. So mm-hmm. what I'm looking for is to find a substance that can produce a similar set of symptoms to what you currently have. And it's really about treating the entire person. It's not as though, like I give you something for your headache and something for your cough and something for this and something for that. Instead, it's really there's one single homeopathic remedy to treat all of you,
mm-hmm.
the entire person. And so I'm looking to understand all different aspects of someone's health when I'm prescribing a homeopathic remedy. And so and what homeopathy really works on is more what I refer to as the kind of vitalistic imbalance in that person's health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you think about it as someone's own vitality. We have a room full of people, and we look out in the room full of people, we kind of pick out those people that look more vital,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They look healthier, they look vital, you know, they're full of energy, and they just have this vibrance about them. You know, people that are more sick and ill look less vital.
Mm-hmm.
And so homeopathy works on helping to correct the imbalances that cause more a vitalistic type of condition. Where diabetes is more a condition of lifestyle.
I know you will want to join me on the next show for the conclusion of this interesting interview with Dr. Michael Smith. I look forward to seeing you then. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, host of the Holistic Health Show, wishing you a great week.